And back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, I'm Brandon Peoples, talking with Mayor Yusha Reddy and Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear as the City Commission gets set to meet tonight, 7 p.m., for their legislative meeting. And one of the considerations on the general agenda, item A, is has to do with e-scooters and this trial run, I guess, if you will, that K-State is working on here with the city. And so what is it we're going to be learning tonight?
So thanks, Brandon. Yes, one of the things that we've been fortunate of here in Manhattan is that, you know, a couple years ago, a lot of the e-scooter companies just started bringing scooters and dumping them in communities for students and others to rent and utilize. And they've targeted college campuses across the country because there's a known expected user there. And so K-State's been pretty pretty tight in their controls of that. And so one of the things that we've talked with them about, and we were somewhat fortunate last year that the state of Kansas did adopt some legislation that basically classified e-scooters as a bicycle. So essentially the e-scooters have to follow the same rules as a bicycle. And then the city also adopted some provisions in our ordinances which recognized the e-scooters as a bicycle. And one of the things that areas of communities that where they're somewhat popular is where people congregate. And people congregate downtown, obviously, and in Aggieville. And so we don't allow bicycles on sidewalks in those high traffic areas. And so likewise, K-State wants to control where that bike travel and e-scooter travel is. And so we've worked together with them, and we've approached a process where we entertained proposals from various companies that provide e-scooter services with the idea that we would do a trial basis, not only on campus, but also within the community and ideally with the same company to make it to kind of work out some of the issues that we have. And there were three finalist companies. They were Lime, Bird, and Zagster. And that Zagster uses Lynx and scooters. And the recommendation is to go with Zagster. They're also doing some cooperative venture with Green Apple Bikes and have a desire to manage them. The Lynx scooters are interesting, and they are a micro mobility company, a micro network company. And so they operate somewhat, or Lynx operates somewhat like Uber does, if you will, from a employee perspective, but they also plan to provide warehouse space and will employ folks to work on them and fetch them and that sort of thing. But some of the control mechanisms, obviously, there's a process called geofencing. So geofencing is where you can control the speed when it's getting close to Aggieville or getting close to the student union on campus. You can control how fast it will go, maybe slow it down to 5 minutes, or you can make it die. I mean, you can stop it, keep it from running in specific areas so they aren't able to operate them. So there's just lots of different aspects. I think the committee's done a great job of analyzing all the pros and cons of the various companies, and Lynx scooters tend to be have a little bit better reliability from some of that geocoding, as well as have a little better safety record for its operation. So all of those things are what a lot of these companies have evolved and improved their programming and their education of the riders. You know, we all kind of learn to ride a bike, and mm-hmm. none of us really learn to ride e-scooters. So there are some good things to know about e-scooters, and they operate a little bit differently. And, you know, it's a little bit tougher to make them jump. So if you run into a curb, you're not probably going to be able to jump that. And there's some accidental consequences of that. So it also a lot of the issue has to deal with parking. And so where should these be parked? And so part of that is educating the user that, you know, once they download the app and they run their credit card and if they don't take it back to where it's supposed to be or park it where it's supposed to be and they just leave it leaving on the edge of the street or in the middle of the street where it's going to get run over, they're continued to going to get charged. And if there's damage, they may get charged for that. And so that's a big part of the education of the user as well. But so I think the companies have learned a lot from various places they've been. I know K-State was in close contact with Wichita. Wichita has been doing it a little bit while. I think Lawrence is doing some as well, but other universities in the Big 12, Oklahoma State and Austin, Texas, were both at places where these companies just showed up, started dumping them, kind of no rules. Everybody was scrambling, and they basically banned everything, and they've started over again. So on a similar type thing. So the goal here is that K-State's going to have an agreement with Zagster, assumingly, that'll really control what happens on campus, and then we'll also enter into an agreement, or that's our recommendation, is to enter into an agreement with Zagster that deals with how they operate in the community and our right-of-way ordinances and that sort of thing from a parking and different aspect for that. So we think it's certainly something that there seems to be a lot of interest in. I know K-State has surveyed a lot of their students, and they are interested. And, of course, you already have some students that have their own devices, so that you don't have a lot of control over. But the same rules would apply. So there'll be some enforcement parameters, and I think it's best to kind of work with one company to try and figure out all of the pros and cons and issues, and then you might be able to open it up to additional companies as well.
Yeah, Yusha, I know you've kind of gone back and forth on this.
Yeah, you know, the Student Governing Association from Kansas State University about 3 years ago, they were at a international town gown conference. And e-scooters were the talk at that point, and they brought it back along with Commissioner Moore. So we all were having discussions. Actually, Bird was the one that was being discussed at that time. And, as we go around, like I said, in other communities, we used to just see them on the sidewalks anywhere, not really organized. I'm glad we're looking at this closer. This is going to be a pilot program for us. It's one of those trends that you want to be cautious about because there is, for an e-scooter, there's a speed element. And my daughter is a pediatrician, and she's seen a lot of accidents from e-scooters, especially head injuries and things of such. So you want to be cautious about the accident part of it and make sure everybody's educated in that sense. And then there's the enforcement piece, and we were working with RCPD, so they are also knowledgeable, as well as Kansas State University Police and their athletic department and such. And, you know, where do we see them in Aggieville? You certainly don't want somebody who's intoxicated or who's been drinking to go around on their e-scooter. So this is going to be, like I said, a pilot program to make sure safety first. And then if this is something we want to continue with and have other competitive program going with other e-scooter organizations, we are making space for them on our sidewalks and on our right-of-ways and such so that they have space to ride them. But we have a lot of people that just can buy one and just ride it on their own without being affiliated with the university or city or anything. So they're already out there. We just want to be sure it's safe. And people understand how to slow down or that they have to keep paying. You know, it's on a credit card. And if you're not cautious, you're going to end up paying for a lot more than you anticipated. So I think it's going to be a learning process. And we're learning from other communities. You know, California is warm all year round. Well, in Kansas, you're going to have short periods of that warm spot. So we also want to see what happens in the wintertime. And if they're charging it, who gets billed for that kind of charging as they're so it's a learning process for all of us, I think.
You mentioned the head injuries, and I'm curious because I know Kansas doesn't have a helmet law. Does it? Is that something that you at the city level can enforce?
That's part of the aspect of will you require it? This Zagster strongly encourages it, and that's part of their education program. And most of the companies, e-scooter companies, because of the track record of injuries, are you might provide free helmets to users. So those are just some of those aspects because they obviously want you to use your product and they want you to use it safely and not damage it or yourself. So that is a big component of different aspects.
What about in the parking aspect of it here? Are businesses open to the idea of having, you know, racks where they can be parked at here?
Yeah, and so most of, from our perspective, will be you'll be able to park them in bike racks as well, or we'll set up other racks. That's one of the things we'll work with them if they have a different design that better accommodates the e-scooter. Most of them have a small kickstand on them, and so they can be parked maybe by themselves. They might not necessarily, you might just have a concrete pad or a parking area where you would put these. And so that would, and signage that says, you know, e-scooter parking area type of thing. I think part of those will be, you know, the challenge comes in those high volume pedestrian areas where you want to try to steer them to an area. Again, same as our bikes, that we don't want them to be up on a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. We want to be if you look downtown, a lot of those parking areas are actually in the street parking area, so near some of those bulb outs where we have extra parking for them to occur. And that's really, and they're supposed to be riding them on the street, so we want that convenient space for them to be able to park them where they're also protected and safe.
Yeah. You know, I also would like to know more about, like, when they start charging. If they're e-scooters, you know, you got to charge these somewhere. So who charges them, where they charge them, who gets billed for that? And so those are questions I think we will continue to discuss and see how it works in other communities. It is a trend, and we'll see how much they want it. If there is a market for these things, then worth giving it a shot.
There is a revenue sharing component as well as part of these proposals. That's more aligned on the university. But there are companies that have revenue sharing components with municipalities as well. It's not really a franchise agreement, if you will, like we would have with a utility or something like that, but more of a, you know, if you cooperate with us and create these joint parking spaces and do other aspects to encourage ridership, then, you know, we'll provide some revenue back for those type of improvements.
So what would this is a pilot program again, and how long will that go, and then what would deem it to be a success?
I think we're looking initially at about a 6-month period. Okay. And then you know, it's just an evaluation over that time of, you know, how many issues has it created, has it been, what's the sense of the user group, you know, are they being utilized, that sort of thing, and what is the accident record. Do we need to tighten down the geofencing? And those are things that we'll be able to adjust along the way as well as we react to specific issues.
Yeah, and I don't know where the school district falls on all of these either, because I don't think there's an age to ride these.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, we might have elementary school kids up to high school, and so they would have to be brought on board as far as if they need parking space and what that looks like. We have this safe routes to school program, but we envision walking and bike riding. So if they're riding e-scooters, which is going to be the new trend, what does that look like for those school districts? And so they probably need to be part of the conversation as well, especially since we're renovating and expanding the two middle schools and projects on the high school. So
yeah, and these will be one-person scooters, right? You're not going to be able to have like two or three people.
They're not designed to have multiple riders, right?
So that'll probably be part of the ordinance here, you know, one per scooter.
Mm-hmm. And most of them have built-in sensor mechanisms that it wouldn't operate if two people tried to get on it.
All right. 'Cause I could see some people trying that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.